From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. Second hour of the show. We got a great hour. It's going to be a ton of fun. Next hour, 9 p.m. hour, we're going to talk to a guy who owns a yogurt shop up in Snohomish. He does some fascinating, beautiful artwork on the windows. And not only that, he does some really cool stuff in the shop. It's like an immersive experience. I go to it with my family sometimes. And I just want to share the story with you because it's really hard to run businesses these days, especially small mom and pop shops like this. And when somebody does the extra effort to make it a nice place for a family like mine to go and spend their time and hard-earned money, I just like to highlight those things when I can. So I had the opportunity, so I'm happy to do it. All right, in this hour, this is called the News Roundup. We look back on all the other shows, and joining us always is Lisa Brooke. Well, Brooks, not Brooke, Brooks. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, yes. Matt Butler is here as well. Matt, welcome.
Good to be here.
Lisa has won an award, so I don't know how much longer she's going to share her presence with us. But yes, while we still have her, welcome to the show. All right, I'm going to play you a trivia clip. You're going to get a chance to answer this, Lisa. Do you think you can do it?
I don't know. I haven't heard it.
All right. Well, that's the kind of confidence we like. Here it is. Take a guess.
I tell you what, I'm not going to die. No, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it. I'm going to kill the bear. Say it. I'm going to kill the bear. Say it. Say I'm going to kill the bear. Say it.
I'm going to kill the bear.
Say it again.
I'm going to kill the bear.
Say it again. I'm going to kill the bear. Good. What one man can do, another can do.
What one man can do, another can do.
Say it again.
What one man can do, another can do.
Say it again.
What one man can do, another can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the actors? You can probably name the actors before you
Anthony
can name
Hopkins.
The movie. Yes. And?
Alec Baldwin.
Yes. That's it. Just those two guys. Uh-huh. That's insane. Do you know what the movie is?
Yes, but I can't remember the name of it.
Okay, Matt, did you know the movie?
The Edge.
There it is. Yes, The Edge. You haven't seen The Edge, though,
No,
right?
I haven't, no.
But we were talking about this yesterday, because yes. Washington State, they have just made the announcement that they're going to be trying this new program. They're going to reintroduce grizzly bears into the Cascades 5 to 10 a year for the next 5 to 7. 5 to 7, I'm sorry. 5 to 7 a year for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
They're going to try to cap it at around, what was it, 25, 35?
Sounds right, yeah.
And then they're just going to try to maintain. And, you know, they say it's really great for the local wildlife. So they have, you know, I guess grizzly bears were in the area a long time until they were not. Mm-hmm. And so they want to try to reintroduce them, see how it goes.
Be interesting.
I am not enthusiastic
Stay
about
inside.
It. Yeah, I don't, I'm not wild about it. But, you know.
It's
I
the
guess,
North Cascades.
I guess we'll just wait until somebody gets eaten by a grizzly bear. And then it's grizzly bear season, right? After that happens, don't you think?
It's very possible.
Very possible. Yeah. They probably wouldn't kill the grizzly bears. They'd probably go and like, you know, stun them.
No, I think they would kill the grizzly
bears. You think they kill them?
At least the one that got the person.
Well, how would they know?
It's got clothing on now.
Maybe. Or? Yeah, it's just wearing clothes.
It's got a wallet in its pocket.
It might. Yeah, you're right. It might be wearing a hat. No, I think they would probably, what's the thing? Not stun them. They shoot them with tranquilizers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'd probably tranquilize them, and then they would relocate them to, I don't know,
more
where they'd
northern
take them.
In the Cascades.
Yeah, like
send
them
to Canada.
Send them to Alaska or Canada. Yeah. That'd be great. All right. Every day we do this news roundup. We look back on all the other shows, and we just play you a quick clip from what they were talking about. Seattle's Morning News, they're talking about passengers on flights. Unpleasant smells. Let's hear about it.
You ever been on a plane with a smelly passenger?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when I was flying back home, the last time I had a flight, there was a couple with twins. And those twins were having a very, very hard time. And they kept throwing up and they pooped. And the mom and dad never got up to take the babies to the bathroom to change their diapers. They changed them right in front of us.
No.
Yes, they did.
No.
Yes, they did.
They it changed was, their poopy diapers
yes, they did.
On the seats?
Unbelievable.
Yes, they
That's,
did.
Did you complain?
I did not complain. The woman was having a hard time anyway.
Sure. Yeah,
I knew
of
that this mom was just, she'd had it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been there.
What were we going to do? Turn the plane around?
No.
Which they actually have done before. As a matter of fact, on one of the flights that I was reading about, a man had a lot of flatulence. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad. I mean, it literally.
What can you do? You can't hold it in.
They turned the plane around and they.
Whoa, what? Really? You heard about this, Lisa?
It was a news story a while ago. I remember hearing about that.
Somebody had such bad gas that they actually turned the flight around.
Yeah, I guess
Can you imagine how bad that would have to
be? Really, really bad.
I feel like in a situation like that, you'd want to take a vote from everybody else on the flight and just be like, listen, guys, like we can either go back, you can get on another plane, we can be delayed for many, many hours, or in like an hour, you can be at your destination. It's just going to smell really bad. It's going to be stinky.
Can you imagine
the entire
being a person with the flatulence? God, they must have been just so embarrassed.
Or were they kind of enjoying it? Were they one of those weird people that like stuff like that?
I can't imagine.
Well, then how would you let it out? Like, do they have no control over their body? They just have to let it out?
Maybe it was painful.
So go to the bathroom. Like, you don't need to be sitting in your seat doing that. Like,
Maybe there was turbulence.
Walk your way down the aisle, go find a bathroom and just post up in there for as long as you can.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I would do. All right, let's finish this clip here.
Removed him. They
turned the plane around for two.
Well, he also had some associated issues.
Like
with,
he was drinking?
No, with the south end of his
He had to go to
system.
The potty a lot. Let's just say it that way. Yeah, so
he
poor
was
thing.
Making a mess too.
Yes, but airlines actually have policies about people who smell really bad.
Yeah, there's some fine print there.
Yeah, there is. And they can actually deny you if you smell.
What types of smell, though? Because I know
body odor, gas, your breath, maybe reeking of
halitosis.
Alcohol. Yes,
what about being over perfumed?
That is another thing. You can actually, especially if people have allergies, if you're over perfumed.
What do you guys think about this, getting kicked off a plane for being smelly? Does it feel like an overreach? What do you think, Matt?
Not if you're the person that has to suffer through it. You don't feel it's an overreach, particularly if you have a bad reaction to somebody with like strong perfume or cologne. That can be pretty bad.
That can be painful.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lisa?
Can't they just drop the oxygen mask for the people next to the person so
you can
breathe some fine oxygen and not have to breathe the other
Spray
person.
The person with something?
Yeah, bring some of that poopery that they've got, those little tiny...
Oh, yeah.
And you just kind of spray
I think it's pronounced potpourri.
Is it?
Isn't it?
No, I think it's this particular thing, this particular
What's
product.
What's poopery?
It's a product that you spray when you take with you in the bathroom and you spray. We have some in the ladies' room here at Cairo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You spray it?
Yeah.
It's just like an air spritz?
Yeah.
Like a little
tiny spritzy bottle.
But you spray it in the air?
Yeah.
So that's just like a scented, what's that stuff that you spray?
Like Febreze.
Like a Febreze.
Yeah.
It's like a Febreze.
Yep.
Yeah, they could just douse the person in Febreze, and I think you'd be fine. I don't like smells. I would have a tough time getting, I could get past it if I'm given the choice between turning my flight around, having to rebook my flight, because people have schedules on the other side.
Right.
Like, it's not like you're just landing and then just lazing about for the whole day. Normally, if you're going somewhere, you have a reason for being there. And so if all those things are delayed because somebody's got some flatulence or bad breath, like, I don't believe that one. I don't think they would stop the flight for bad breath. That's really awful. That's horrible. All right. Let's see. Jean Ursula, talk with Jack Stein. Let's hear this.
Oh, yeah. He's got a picture of him with like probably $40,000, $50,000 worth of cash on top of the car. I mean, having a very good time up until yesterday.
So apparently the city attorney's office charged him now with two counts of reckless driving. They are using a video that he posted on his Instagram as evidence in his case. And he was going like at speeds of up to 107 miles an hour. And given that we, have had this recent crash where an 18-year-old with a history of crashes smashed into this minivan and killed four people and critically injured two children as well. I mean, this guy thinks it's all about the Instagram, and he's able to make enough money from his Instagram account that he was able to buy. This is what he claims anyway.
Yeah, but I think this is the world that we're dealing with now, where you have children who grow up with a parasocial attachment to social media, where if that's your only center for validation, like when I was a kid, your only center for validation was you got to be in a band, right? Oh, you guys are in a band. Oh, that's so cool. Or you played sports. Oh, that's so cool. And the only validation you got was from your peers. Now it's a bunch of strangers on the internet, and the stakes have to get higher for you to pierce through all the noise. And so that's how you get a 20-year-old who's dressed like a cartoon character driving around at 3 o'clock in the morning going 120 miles per hour.
Social media is just the worst. I feel like we're kind of reaching an inflection point.
This
don't
is
you?
A problem. Yeah.
Don't you feel like we're kind of reaching a point where we're getting a lot of negative stories about social media and its impact on, like, particularly the youths, particularly like young people? Their brains aren't fully developed. They're chasing this thing on the internet that they can never catch, and it's harming them. Like, literally, it's harming them. We talked about this the other day on the show, but, like, teen suicide in girls between the ages of 10 and 14 went up 131% since 2012.
Yep.
Anxiety levels of teenagers between 10 and 19 went up like 50%. I mean, like, those are massive increases. Historically, they've never had increases like that. And it all times out to around the time that social media became this, like, ubiquitous thing that we could all just carry around with us in our pockets.
I don't think we can get rid of it now. What do you think? What is the solution?
You know what I think it is, honestly? I think we're at this in this weird, like, time where it's still just new enough and it's still growing that people are willing to put up with it because it's, like, new technology. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, when they invented the X-ray, everybody got so excited about the X-ray because, oh, look at this. Like, we can dance in front of this magical thing and we can see what my hand is doing. And then all those people got cancer and died because it was actually harming them. This amazing new technology was killing them. They didn't even realize it at the time until later when they figured out, oh, yeah, like, we have to prevent, you know, people from harming themselves with this. It can be used and it can be valuable, but we need to put some, you know, some safety devices hooked up to it.
So other than age limits, what safety devices would you recommend?
I would recommend abolishing all of social media.
But I mean, you, like, post on social media all the time.
Well, I do, but it's all geared towards adults. Like, I would never post something that kids might be into. But I agree that, so in Florida recently, Ron DeSantis just signed a bill that said if you're 14 years old, you have to have a parent physically submit paperwork to the site on, you know, some verification site. They have to have some verification on the website so that parents can submit the paperwork to prove that they're giving their kid permission to be on the social media site.
It'll be interesting to see how that's enforced. That's going to be a tricky one.
Well, Texas just did something similar.
It'll be interesting to see how that one's enforced as
well. I'll tell you how it's enforced. The companies that don't want to be responsible if kids sign up, they pull out. So OnlyFans, in this case, OnlyFans just jumped out of Texas because they realized that this verification system, if they got dinged for accidentally allowing somebody below the age of consent to get on the site, it would cost them so much money. So I think you're going to see state by state different laws, just like we do on every state. But in Florida, I think this thing's going to stick. I think it's going to be challenged.
We'll see.
There's a lot of people who are saying it's violating First Amendment rights. But I think eventually enough parents out there are going to go, you know what? This is needed. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to protect our kids and make sure that they're not harming themselves. And they're not going to be accessible by other people out there who do not have their best interest at heart. That's what I think is going to happen. And you're going to have a lot of parents like me, too. I grew up with it. I have no interest in introducing this to my kids because it's not a novelty to me. This has been around as long as I have been aware of the internet. And so I don't think it's neat. You know, like, it's not a cool new gadget. And
social media?
Yeah.
Social media has been around since what? I mean,
2003-ish, maybe
2002. So MySpace-y kind of was your first exposure.
Yeah,
to
they
it.
Had a lot of stuff. They had, like, back in the day, they had, like, Hot or Not, which was a ridiculous website. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They put your picture up there and people
awful.
Could say Hot or Not.
Yeah.
But that's what all these sites are built off of.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Okay.
And so for me, I have zero interest in it because it has been around since I have been a late teenager. And so I'm thinking.
But that being said, there are positive things. I've gotten jobs off of Facebook. I have gotten job referrals. And I'm not even talking about, you know, LinkedIn, which is supposedly business to business to business.
Sure.
What 10-year-old is on LinkedIn? That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are many ways that these things, police departments are also moving to that platform instead of X. To provide information about things that are happening on their social media pages. So it's used for information for a lot of ways. You can't just get rid of it.
I have no problem with it being used for information, but I don't think what kids are doing is using it for information.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think it's like mean girls on the internet, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot of parents who will probably just put their foot down. They will be empowered by states who care enough about those young people to put laws on the books so that those kids can't just sneak out and say, oh, my parent gave me permission. Because right now, all they got to do is hit a button.
I hope you're right.
Did your parents give you consent?
Yeah.
And then they just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make these kids a liar, but, you know, they want to get on.
Liar.
Well, yeah, it does. But they want to get on the site.
Sure.
You know, and so I think enough parents out there like myself and my wife and a lot of people that I've talked to, like a lot of parents that I've talked to have said, yes, we totally agree. We're not interested in this. We don't want this for our kids. We've seen enough of the damage that it can do. And now we have data coming out too. I think that's another helpful thing. For a long time, we didn't have any data because it was so fresh and new. And now we're seeing like, oh yeah, once everybody got it, suicides, anxiety, depression, all these things, self-harm, those are not good things, obviously. All right, we've almost run out of time here. Let's get to one more, Jack and Spike. Mike Lewis was in for Jack and Spike. They talk about educating kids about what's going into their meals. Oh, this is, I actually heard this conversation. I think I was driving one day and I heard this. This is interesting.
Teaching kids, even kids who don't hunt, how to actually fully dress an animal. So how to pluck a chicken, you know, boil it, get the feathers off, remove the organs, cut the feet off, and actually then turn that into food.
Yeah,
into a meal.
Yep.
Same with deer. I don't know if they're doing it with pigs as well. And I was reading this story. It's a terrific story in the New York Times. And the kids, the great thing is like some of the pictures are pretty funny because some of the kids are pretty squeamish about this because there is a disconnect. And this is why the class is important. There is a strong disconnect between what we're eating and how it gets there. And I think that this is not, if you are a vegetarian, and a lot of my diet is purely vegetarian. Every now and then I lapse happily. But I would say that like not knowing where your food is coming from and then also not even knowing how to prepare it, I think is a real liability. Knowing that and seeing this is not an advocacy for a meat-based diet. What it is like this is the way the process should happen, is in small quantities, you know, handled like this, not factory farms and not the way, you know, you get your stuff from, let's just say, Tyson. The fact that people think that their food comes from a drive-through, that meat comes from, you know, Safeway.
Even the grocery store, right. People have no idea what the process involved.
And I think actually knowing these things gives you an additional respect for how you're, and then also gives you a chance to make a decision. If you decide that, hey, I'm not comfortable with this. This used to be, you know, a deer walking around in the woods somewhere. I'd rather not do that. Fair enough.
What do you guys think about this, teaching kids where their food comes from? What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing to have more understanding of how the world works in a practical way. So yeah. I think on balance, it's probably a good thing to know.
Yeah, Lisa, what do you think?
I don't think I could live through it if I was a kid and had to deal with that. I've killed a fish.
Okay.
You know, but and I eat fish. Man, I couldn't go through it if it was...
Do you eat meat?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
And when you do, you probably are not thinking when you're eating meat, like, oh, I wonder what the process was for this meat getting to my plate.
Oh, gosh, the less I think about it, the better.
Yeah. I see the benefits of this. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's good for people to know, you know, where they get their... Also, not just meat, but like, where do you get your vegetables? You know, like, it's not just... I'm not saying that there's anything bad about it.
Do you guys grow vegetables? Do you show your kids that?
We actually do grow vegetables. Yeah. So they do see it. Like we've tried to grow things. It's not always successful, but we do try to grow things. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be interesting if, you know, kids just understood there's a tremendous amount of work goes into all the foods that we just kind of take for granted. Yeah. Like just we get them at the grocery store. It's super easy.
And it can also spark interest because I read recently where they're trying to get more young people interested in farming because they need to be younger farmers. So maybe someone will see that and go, that's really cool how things grow. I might want to get into that.
Yeah, it's a cool industry. You can make a ton of money at it if you're good at it. And, you know, it's pretty cool stuff. So I also respect the heck out of hunters. It's interesting. When you talk to hunters, you assume a hunter is one thing. And then you talk to somebody who actually goes out and hunts. The respect that they have for the animals is always very surprising to me. And that's a good thing for those kids to get a sense of that as well. All right. We did get a chance to get to this clip. I don't know if Lisa has a chance to hang out, if she can or if she can't. John and Sherry have a clip about a dad who got arrested for fighting his son's school on the amount of homework he was being assigned. This sounds fascinating. I have to get to that clip when we get back. And then a lot of other stuff. So stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right. Lisa's got to jump out and get some more new stuff set up for just a little bit. But before she goes, I asked her to stick around.
Okay.
Last segment, we were talking about stinky passengers on planes, which then we got into a side conversation about how you guys have something called poopery here, which I thought was potpourri, but it's called poopery. Apparently, you're using it wrong. can I teach you how to use it right? We got about 900 text messages.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So when you use it, you just spray it in the air like a fragrance, right? Uh-huh.
Like a Febreze.
Like a Febreze. Yeah. You just spray it in the air. Okay, that's not what it is at all. So you should read the bottle, but listen to this. And I know this is correct because, again, we have just been flooded with text messages. Poopery, I'm just going to read what they write, guys. So I'm gonna say the word, I don't know, it doesn't say poop. I just said it. This is from Jessie B, and she describes how to use poopery. Poopery is used pre-poop. You spritz a few blasts into the toilet onto the water before you use the restroom. Oh. Its scented oils form a sheen over the water, which then covers the poo smell and traps it in the water. And they say that this is vital on all of their trips that they go on.
Fun fact, it also works the other way.
Does it? Just as well?
Yeah.
Okay, just as a fragrance.
But all
right.
It's good to have
so
that
So that's
tip.
Good to know. I wonder if Febreze would work that way. Maybe you can spray it on the water and check it out.
But you can't carry that in your purse.
No, you can't. Unless they sell like a tiny one, but I don't think they do. All right. Thank you, Lisa. We learn something new every day. And thank you to all of our text messengers who have let us know how to correctly use poopery. We appreciate it, you guys. All right, really fast here before we get to this other story. It's really John and Sherry were discussing something. This just looks really intriguing to me. I'm interested in this. So we're going to play it real fast, and then I want to respond to it. Here it is.
Basically, the parent didn't like that his child was getting homework, so he decided he was going to call the school and call the school repeatedly over and over again.
Criminal complaints filed against Sizemore say he threatened the school principal, saying he, quote, better put his big boy pants on. When the school stopped taking his calls, detectives say he started calling the police department.
He calls dispatch, I think it was 18 times, roughly.
I want to talk to the chief. I need to talk to the chief. Call the chief, and you get the chief on the line. Page the chief.
In the audio recordings from the police department, you can hear Sizemore become audibly frustrated. Officers aren't telling him their name, and that he keeps getting the chief of police's voicemail, and they can't speak with him directly.
Leave a voicemail if he doesn't answer.
I'm being very nice.
Well, then come to the police department, and we'll call the chief in, and you can talk to him in person.
Yeah, because I'm sure the chief wants to deal with your kid getting too much homework.
Mm-hmm. He'll get out of the meeting that he's in to do that.
Yeah. He can come to my f***ing house. I pay for him. He can come to my house.
After repeated calls, Sizemore did not get the chance to speak with the chief, but he did get to speak with officers.
Ma'am, I'd like to talk to the chief.
Okay, and I have transferred you up there, so you need to leave him a voicemail.
I'm not going to leave a voicemail.
Okay, well, I'm going to send some officers out to your house to talk to you in person since you won't stop calling.
That ultimately ended when we took him into custody for telecommunications harassment as well as menacing charge.
That's a crazy story. Can you imagine that? That's nuts.
I love that twist where it's like, no, you can't talk to the chief, but we'll send some officers out.
You know, my kids are not to the age yet where they're sending them home with homework, but I know that I've heard from other parents that that is a thing. They do get upset. The schools do send a lot of homework, apparently. I'm trying to remember back when I was in school if homework was as big of a deal. I feel like I didn't get as much of it, or I just wasn't doing it. Maybe I just didn't care to do it. But yeah, that's a real... I feel like maybe that guy just went a little overboard. He probably legitimately was not happy that his kid had as much homework, or maybe he's, I don't know. This guy doesn't sound like the smartest tool, the sharpest tool in the shed. Not
Shouldn't
the smartest
he
tool in the shed.
The principal though.
Should you be calling the principal?
I mean, that would make more logical sense.
Well, I think at the start of the story, didn't they say that he called the school and they were
didn't
not getting
feel like he was getting satisfaction.
Yeah. So then he decided to
took it up
start harassing yeah. the local police. I would not recommend this. This does not sound like a good idea. And just do the homework, right? And if it's too much, then try to meet with the principal and be reasonable about it. All right, really quickly before we run out of time here, this is really interesting. You guys remember this movie. Everyone does. The Titanic movie. This is a great song. Oh, this song really holds up. I think it's still really good. Okay, so Titanic came out in 1997. You guys remember the infamous door at the end of the movie? I don't want to spoil it for you guys in case you haven't seen it, but everybody's seen it a million times, so I'm not spoiling anything. At the end of the movie, Rose, played by Kate Winslet, and Jack, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, find themselves floating after the ship has sunk, find themselves floating on this door, which then becomes this point of contention for Titanic fans. It's weird to say there's Titanic fans, but fans of the movie, not the disaster. So fans of the movie were debating for years and years and years, ever since this movie came out in 1997, was there room enough for Jack on the door? And if there was, maybe his life could have been saved. And maybe he and Rose could have lived a happy life together. And she wouldn't have just had to go off and marry someone else. So that was debated endlessly. So much so that James Cameron, I think this is 2022, and I watched this with my wife because, of course, we love Titanic at the house. James Cameron actually did a special. I think it was for Discovery Channel. He did a special on whether or not Jack's death was necessary in the movie and whether he could have survived. And they put two actors. I'm going to get to the door in just a second. There was an auction. The door sold for a crazy amount of money. The fake prop door from the movie Titanic. I'll get to that in just a second. But James Cameron sets up in this Discovery thing. They recreate the scene with two actors, two stunt people, and they actually put them in this cold water tank, and they get the water down as close as they can to what it would have been in the Atlantic at the time that the Titanic sunk. And they try to actually get these actors or these stunt people to go through the process of hypothermia. They have a hypothermia expert on site. They wire them up. They're making sure that they're fine. They're like making sure that their heart is not going to just shut off on them. They do this forensic analysis, just this really in-depth thing to try to prove whether or not Jack could have survived on the door. And what they ultimately decide is that it doesn't matter because it was a fictional movie. It was fake, which we all know. The answer is actually he possibly could have survived. That's what they kind of come down. They say, well, there's a possibility that maybe if he was on the door, he could have survived and maybe they could have had a life together. But then Cameron says at the end, he concludes, he goes, well, it doesn't really matter about the science. Jack needed to die because it is a Romeo and Juliet story. It's a movie about love and sacrifice and mortality, grabbing life by the reins while you still can. And he says in the end, love is measured by the sacrifice, that Jack sacrifices himself and puts Rose on the door. So all of that to say, it's all about this door at the very end. The door then sold at a recent auction. You remember the door, obviously, Rose and Jack scene. I'll play you a quick clip from that.
I'll never let go. I promise.
She then immediately lets go, and then he drowns. So the door sold at this auction. Listen to the price it sold for. It's made out of balsa wood. It's just a prop from a movie. It sold for $718,000. Do you know how big of a Titanic fan you would have to be to spend $750,000 on a fake balsa wood door? That's unbelievable. I can't even believe that. Although, if you have a ton of money, what a cool thing to have in your house that people can actually like walk through and see this door. Oh yeah, that's the Kate and that's the Rose and Jack door. How amazing is that? So this wasn't the only thing sold at this auction. They did this heritage auction. I think it was in Planet Hollywood. So they sold the door for $718,000. They sold Winslet's dress, which is the dress she's wearing in that scene, for $125,000. Indiana Jones bullwhip from Temple of Doom, $525,000. That's pretty cool. Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining, $125,000. What else they sell here? Bill Murray's Red Rose bowling ball from Kingpin. That'd be a good one. $350,000. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 3 suit. I don't know who would buy that. $125,000. I wouldn't pay a nickel for that. All right, this one's kind of cool. The shaving cream canister from Jurassic Park that they sneak all of the DNA samples out in. $250,000. That's pretty neat. All right, we have a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jake Skorheim. All right. I want to tell you guys about something that's going on in California. There's something that's going to happen in California in 3 days. Something similar is happening in Washington right now, specifically in Seattle. I think these things are interesting and they're kind of the same thing. So I thought we'd talk about it really fast. So in California, they passed a bill. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill in September, which was going to increase the minimum wage for fast food workers from the state minimum, which was $16 an hour. And it was going to raise it specifically, again, for fast food workers to $20 an hour. The bill goes into effect in 3 days. And because it goes into effect in 3 days, almost like a cruel joke on April Fool's Day, restaurants are sending out warnings. This is kind of a bizarre thing. Like, just imagine this. Your favorite restaurant that you might go to, your Starbucks, your Chipotle's, whatever it is, they're now warning customers ahead of time. They're saying, hey, in 3 days, it's going to get more expensive to eat our stuff because we have this new mandate that we have to pay employees like a pretty big increase. I mean, $4 an hour more is a big increase. Here's what they're saying. Chipotle is saying it's going to be pretty significant increase to our labor. This is their chief financial officer. He was talking to the LA Times. He said that a significant amount of the cost is going to be passed on due to the customers and a mid to high single digit percentage price increase. He says, we're definitely going to be passing this on, which is what businesses do. I don't know why government doesn't seem to recognize this, but this is what they do. They pass the cost on to the consumer because a lot of times these businesses run on a really, really thin margin, especially in the food industry. You can't just raise their rates and expect them not to pass that along. Starbucks, big company. They say, a spokesman said that the company would offset the added labor cost through a variety of levers, including near-term pricing, as well as other efficiencies. Reed, we're going to do with less people. We're just probably going to fire people. And that's probably what they'll do, would be my guess. In addition to price increases, some employees will be cut to make way for cheaper automated options. Other business owners may quit California entirely. That's totally a possibility. Let's see. There is a professor at Georgetown University who looks into this very type of thing. And he says where they can automate, they will automate. So like in my local McDonald's up north, when I go in there, I don't even order from a person anymore. I order from a kiosk. I just look at the pretty pictures and I hit the buttons until I see what I want to order. And then I hit order and then I pay for it. I never talk to a person at these McDonald's anymore. Like if I'm going in there for hotcakes, I never even talk to a person. It just appears on a desk. And I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of these places. We have seen this in Seattle. The same thing happened in Seattle. And now the Seattle City Council is trying to figure out what to do about this. Back in 2022, a different Seattle City Council, some of them were there, but a lot of them weren't. Seattle City Council in 2022 adopted something called the Pay Up Ordinance, ironically named. And what it was supposed to do is to raise the minimum wage, set a minimum wage for delivery drivers, for Instacart, DoorDash, all those types of app delivery drivers, to $26, and I think it was $26.40 an hour. The problem was it started backfiring like immediately. It was adopted in 2022. It went into effect on January 1st of this year, 2024. Almost overnight, people stopped ordering because, again, just like we're now seeing in California, these businesses are warning in California, locally here, these companies said, all right, we're just going to tack on this delivery fee. If you're going to make us pay people, the minimum wage in Seattle is $19.97 an hour. But these drivers are going to make more than $6 more than the minimum wage. So these companies said, all right, well, we'll just like tack on the extra. You're forcing us to pay these people more per hour. We will pass that on to the customers. So they did. They started adding these extra fees. The customers in turn said, well, I don't want to pay $5 extra every time I place an order for a $9 burrito on top of wanting to tip the driver. So I'll just stop ordering. I'll just go myself. Or I'll make the food in my house, which is the other problem, because now these mom and pop restaurants who rely on these orders coming in stopped seeing all these orders, like to the tune of like in 1 month, in like a 2 week period, 30,000 or fewer orders on just one app. All the drivers are saying, yeah, like this is not a good deal for us. It's backfired horrendously.
Sundays before the ordinance, we'd be thinking breakfast.
Fewer orders.
You know, people, they love their breakfast.
Sunday today, I don't even touch it. They're not going to order. And it's definitely backfiring.
This other driver said people just aren't ordering the same way.
Assuming that you are working constantly, then yes, you're going to be making that much money. But that's not what's happening right now because people are not ordering as much anymore.
So yeah, it sounds good. $26.40 an hour in Seattle, $20 in California for fast food workers. It sounds good until those workers' jobs disappear because companies, you just can't force them to suddenly come up with extra money, especially for restaurants. They run on such a thin margin. I have had friends who have run restaurants and owned restaurants. It's really, really tough to make it in that business. They'll work for like 2 or 3 years, and then a lot of times your favorite restaurant just shuts down because they're really, really tough to keep open. So they run on such thin margins. You just can't add something like this. This seems crazy to me. But we'll see how it works. Hopefully Seattle can fix the problem, and I guess California will just figure it out. All right, next hour, we're going to talk to a yogurt shop owner in Snohomish who draws, he puts art, like amazing art, on his windows. You have to check it out. I'm going to post these pictures on mynorthwest.com. You can see them there shortly. And it's a great interview. You're going to love him. So tune in. We're going to have that next here on Cairo Nights.
Hey there, I'm Chris Sullivan, traffic reporter for Cairo News Radio. The favorite part about my...